Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen, amen. Well, we are in a series that I'm calling Experiencing the Benefit of the Sabbath. And in this series, what I've been trying to do is not prove the Sabbath from Scripture, but just talk about some of the wonderful benefits that the Sabbath offers us, that God intended the Sabbath to bring to us. And today we're going to talk about renewal healing. Renewal healing. And do you realize that our Lord Jesus Christ spent more time healing people than he did preaching and teaching? He spent more time healing than preaching. And I think that tells us a lot about where Jesus' heart is and what his mission was. Because healing was obviously very important to the mission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of particular interest to us are the healings that took place on the seventh day Sabbath. For the majority of times that the Sabbath is mentioned in the New Testament, it is made in conjunction with a healing that Jesus Christ was involved in bestowing on someone. And the Bible incidents of the healing on the Sabbath day should be of great interest to us as Seventh-day Adventists. These Bible incidents are all over the New Testament in the Gospels. And in my research, I found something very interesting in regards to Christ performing miracles of healing on the Sabbath day. Adventist, Seventh-day Adventist authors really do not write much about these healings. And when they do, they tend to do it in an apologetic fashion. In other words, they want to emphasize that Christ's actions were not as the scribes and Pharisees were accusing him of breaking the Sabbath. Because, as we know, that the fourth commandment says... But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. And the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis of that time were saying, Jesus is a Sabbath breaker because he's working on the Sabbath. So most of what Seventh-day Adventist authors write is trying to say, well, Jesus wasn't breaking the Sabbath by working on it. Almost nothing, almost next to nothing, I should say, is written about the positive significance of these healings by Jesus Christ on the seventh-day Sabbath. But I believe that when we look at these healings, we can learn a lot about what God intended for the Sabbath to be and what its meaning should be for our lives today. That Jesus is a healer is very clear from the Bible record. Batteries are getting low in this guy. Whew, got it. Might want to change them after today's done. The Old Testament, before Jesus Christ was born here on earth, prophesied that Jesus would be a healer. I think we lost our picture. I'm so thankful for it. Well, I will read it to you. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. We've got to get this fixed, guys. We've got to get this fixed. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. That's the prophecy of what Jesus as the healer would be like. And this prophecy about Jesus as the healer was certainly fulfilled in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. This is Matthew's description of Christ as the healer. From Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and listen to this, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus healed every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus Christ was a healer. Amen? Now, there are seven total healings, Sabbath healings, in Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, otherwise referred to as the Gospels. Each mention of these Sabbath healings seems intent on communicating to us that Christ's healings were not only physical healings, but also spiritual healings. In other words, the Bible writers, the Gospel writers, are bending over backwards to say it wasn't just a physical healing miracle. Accompanied and associated with this was a miracle of a spiritual healing. In John Brunt's excellent book, A Day for Healing, he points out something that I find very interesting. In all the healing miracles recorded in the Gospels that did not take place on the Sabbath, and there are healings that are mentioned throughout the Gospel. In the healing miracles recorded in the Gospels that did not take place on the seventh-day Sabbath, with the exception of resurrections, raising people from the dead, and some exorcism, there was always a request of Jesus for healing by a relative, a friend, or the person himself. Always there was a request to be healed. Whereas, quite opposed to this, the miracles of healing that Jesus performed on the Sabbath, the persons who were healed did not request it. Jesus just took the initiative. Without asking permission and without anyone telling him to do so, he said, "I am going to heal this person." It was as if Jesus strategically set up these healing situations to take place on the Sabbath. And if he would have waited only a few hours to do this healing, he would have saved himself a lot of trouble. For you see, the Jewish leaders, specifically the rabbis and the Pharisees, were looking for excuses to bring Jesus down. And by their definition of him profaning the Sabbath by working on it, he was giving them ammo. And he would have saved himself a lot of trouble if he would have just not healed on the Sabbath and would have waited a few hours. In fact, the scripture indicates that they got so mad at him for his Sabbath healings that this was one of the main reasons that they decided that Jesus has to go. He has to be put to death. So if Jesus would have wanted to avoid controversy and not have people mad at him, he certainly would have taken a different approach to these Sabbath healings. The Jewish rabbis did teach that physical healings were permissible in the matter of an extreme emergency. But anything unnecessary as far as a healing was not okay and was not permissible. It could wait until after the Sabbath hours were over. But when we look at the kind of situations that Jesus provided healing for, we find that they were far from necessities. They were not considered something that was an emergency. For example, the woman in Luke 13 who had been stooped over and couldn't raise back up, she had been in that condition for 18 long years. But Jesus decided to heal her on Sabbath. Couldn't he have waited just a few hours until after the Sabbath was over in order for this woman to be healed. The adult man in John chapter 9 had been blind since the day of his birth, his entire life. But Jesus heals him on the Sabbath instead of waiting until after the Sabbath hours are over. The man by the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5 had been waiting to be healed for 38 long years. I can almost sense the disciples, or rather the Pharisees and the scribes saying, couldn't he have just waited? Come on, 38 years. In his Sabbath healing miracles, Jesus was trying to show that the Sabbath is not a day for legalistic rules and regulations. It's not a day of ritual. By intentionally going out of his way to challenge the thinking of some what Sabbath was and what it wasn't in his time, he was sending a clear message. The Sabbath is first and foremost about relationships, about doing good, about making people's lives better. And just as Jesus challenged their ideas about what Sabbath keeping is and isn't back then, I think he's still trying to do that with us today. I taught you a Jewish phrase a few weeks ago, which is Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom basically means this: may Sabbath peace and joy be yours. The word Shalom is peace. It's a joyful peace. And Shabbat is the Hebrew word for Sabbath. May Sabbath peace be yours. The word Shalom, although it's usually translated as a kind of joyous peace, it can also be translated as health. Health. So, actually, using that translation, it could mean, may Sabbath healing and health be yours. May Sabbath healing be yours, if you please. God gave the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, to bring about a healing in our lives. By setting aside our usual weekly routine and the cares and the stresses of our week, we can experience healing. Physical healing, emotional healing, relational healing, spiritual healing. We can be refreshed, renewed, liberated to survive another week coming up. Christ's invitation to his disciples in Mark 6:31 is his invitation to you and me as well. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place, a Sabbath if you please, and get some rest. Does that sound good? Amen. It sounds so good. There is a tremendous personal benefit of the healing that the Sabbath can offer for my life and for your life. We all, to some degree, need to be healed of our disease of busyness, of being distracted from the things of God, of self-centeredness and selfishness. If God saw that Adam and Eve needed a seventh-day Sabbath of rest, refreshment, and healing in a world without sin that was perfect, how much more do we need the Sabbath today in a world that is quite far removed from the perfection of our original paradise home? Sabbath offers us personal healing as we can reconnect with our family and our friends. Sabbath offers us more time to focus on our family and friends and rebuild some of the relationships that during the week maybe have taken a beating. As we unplug from the routine and the frenzy of our week, and we all have busy weeks, it gives us a chance to heal relationships with family and friends. Sabbath also gives us a chance, a time to bring about healing by making other people's lives better around us. Other people's lives better. And this is accomplished through encouraging the discouraged. I hope that you've done that today. You ought to not come to church without encouraging, without saying a kind word, without saying an uplifting word to at least one person, preferably a number of people. One's local church, particularly, offers great opportunities to be an agent of healing for the glory of God as we minister to our church family. We do that through whatever volunteer, spiritual gift, ministry avenue that we have decided on. Some of us are Sabbath school teachers. I got to sit in Bill Hammer's class a little bit this morning. Thank you, Bill, for some of the wonderful points that you brought up. We have great Sabbath school classes, and our teachers minister to us by encouraging us and building us up. Our deacons serve us. Our greeters serve us. Our music ministries build us. Thank you again. Our audiovisual elders, working with meals, and it goes on and on and on. Our volunteer positions that people intentionally say, I'm not going to make this all about me and my needs. I'm going to minister to others. That is a way of building people up. Praise the Lord. And hopefully you have a ministry. And if you don't, come and see one of us on the ministry placement team, and we would love to give you a job. When we are involved selflessly in ministry, it's like we offer an active participation, partnering with God in blessing others. And when we are involved in blessing others, you know what Jesus says about that? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so in the act of giving blessings to others, we become blessed. So the Sabbath is not only a time for receiving the healing that God has available, but it offers us a time to become agents of bringing healing to other people. That being said, during the Sabbath, we will intentionally decide to not be critical or judgmental of others. That kind of Sabbath behavior is not the kind of behavior that Jesus Christ promoted. He promoted the approach to build people up and to make them feel valuable. And this is a critical aspect of correct Sabbath keeping. To keep the Sabbath means to observe the day in such a way as to foster healing, relief, release, liberation, and refreshment in our lives and in those around us. And any action that hurts ourselves and building up other people's lives is breaking the Sabbath. A critical, judgmental spirit breaks people down, and this is a clear violation of keeping the Sabbath holy. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, to have a close relationship with the healer, Jesus Christ. For a close relationship with Christ helps us to rise above the temptation of our natural way of looking at people. It tends, when we have Jesus living in our heart to the agents of the Holy Spirit, we tend to look at people like Jesus looked at people. Loving them unconditionally, looking for the best in them. And when we have Jesus Christ alive in our heart, the Lord of the Sabbath, if you please, it's like we are given special, magic, Sabbath eyeglasses. And when we look at people, we see them as Jesus would see them. And we can become like Jesus when we become a healer on the Sabbath day. It's been quite a few years, and every moment means I'm getting farther away from it. But a long time ago, I was a boarding school resident in a dormitory. Any of the rest of you did boarding school in academy? Okay. It's not so popular today as it was in my time. But I went to this institution that is like 4 hours south of us called Riolindo Academy, RLA. Now it's known as RLAA. It's Riolindo Adventist Academy. But in my day, which was a long time ago, it was RLA, Riolindo Academy. I had a roommate there at Riolindo Academy boarding school named Dave. This is a picture of him presently. He didn't look that way in 1970 and 71, but this is a current picture of Dave. Dave was a logical choice for my roomie because he was a great friend. He went to the same junior academy that I did before I went to senior academy, and I was real close to him, and we lived in the same place. This place called Napa, California. Ever heard of it? We were good friends. And so Dave was my roommate in boarding academy. Dave's career goal from when he was just a little kid was that of medicine. Dave's dad was a physician, and so it kind of made sense that Dave would grow up to be a doctor, and that he did. Dave became a physician and is still a physician, and he presently lives in a place called Seattle, Washington. Dave is one of the top orthopedic spine specialists on the West Coast. He wrote a book. Actually, was given a copy by my sister. I haven't read it because it's not exactly in my wheelhouse of interest, but I have his book here. It's Back in Control, A Spine Surgeon's Roadmap Out of Chronic Pain. And this very book was on the bestseller list in the area of medical healing arts. My roommate. Woo, how about that? Dave also did something else that I think is quite noteworthy. He has this regular podcast that he does. And as a orthopedic spine specialist, there's kind of a play in words, Back in Control. Learning how to heal yourself with Dr. David Hanscom. And so he has this, I don't know if it's a weekly podcast, but it's a regular podcast, and evidently it is so popular. And if that didn't impress you, this will. Dave, my roommate, was on the Dr. Oz show. Oh, yes. And I was tipped about this, and so I actually watched the show, and there is Dave talking with Dr. Oz. And here's another picture of my high school academy roommate visiting with Dr. Oz, telling him about his findings and passion as he talks about spine surgery and what he's learned about that. My academy roommate, Dr. Dave, really made a name for himself as a healer. Now, I don't know if you go to academy, high school, class reunions. I go every 5 years. I don't go every year, but I go for like the even numbers and the ones that end in a five. Had a large class at Rio. We had the largest graduating class from Rio Linda Academy. We had 171 in our class, and we were very close. Boarding school can do that for you. And so, really, about the only time I see Dave anymore these days is at class reunions at Rio. But one class reunion a number of years ago, not the most recent ones, but a number of years ago, we were going around the circle. I don't know if you do this in your class reunions, but we do. We get in this giant circle, and there's like about 80 to 100 of us who show up for these reunions. It's incredible. And we go one by one around, and we share what we've been doing since the last reunion and just kind of tell a little bit about our life's journey. And I remember at one of these reunions that Dave said this. To the best of my recollection, this is what he said. He went on to say, "For those of you who think that you need to believe in God, if you need that crutch, then I guess it's okay. But I have learned that I do not need to believe in a God." And then he went on to share how wonderful his life was without God. And we wondered, what? He talked about how he was estranged from his parents and from one of the siblings in his family. He talked about how he had been severely depressed and had been in counseling for quite some time. It was a real downer. And we're all thinking, those of us who are Christ followers, and this is the good life without God? Dave is an amazing physician. One of the top back surgeons on the entire West Coast. But he's missing out on a deeper healing that Jesus wants to make available to you and to me. A deeper healing, not only physically, but spiritually as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And if we are going to experience the true benefit of the Sabbath that God has intended, we need to know personally and intimately the Lord of the Sabbath, that is Jesus Christ. Do you and do I really know the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus? He is the healer. The Old Testament called him the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. Jesus is the healer. So, in parting, I want to impart a blessing upon you as you are thinking right now, as I am thinking right now, about our personal relationship with the healer, Jesus Christ. May we each be able to look one another in the eye and say, Shabbat, Shalom. May Sabbath health and healing be yours. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Amen. Oh, loving Father, thank you for being a healer. There's so much sickness and disease and darkness on our earth. But you came down through Jesus to our sin-ravaged planet. And he came to show us what healing was all about. And on those Sabbaths when he healed, and those scribes and Pharisees and rabbis were shaking in their head, and they said, he's profaning the Sabbath. they just didn't understand that he was trying to communicate the Sabbath is a special day of healing. Because it falls in the rhythm of God's ordained rest. And on every seventh day, as we gather as the church, we too can partake in the healing that God has in mind for us. Not only physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually, but Lord, may that healing extend outside as we extend healing toward others, as we build them up and show them how much we care. Lord, thank you for being the healer, for sending the healer. Heal us in the ways that we need to be healed. And I ask this in the precious and holy name of the healer. In Jesus' name, amen.